take a little trip with me, and hopefully you can see how the hood, suburbs, and Main Street are all connected. Enough respect, can I mean? We network across the globe, cause it's a global market in case you didn't know. And since we all about information flow, let me be the first one to welcome you to Tech Zone with Paul Amadeus Lane. Let's talk tech, cause technology changing the game. It's all good in the hood, it's everywhere. Now let's get to the show, cause we live on air, yeah.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Tech Zone. I am Paul Amadeus Lane, and I'm so happy to have you with me on the show today. To start off the show, I wanted to offer my sincere condolences to the families and victims that were affected by the tragedy that happened a week ago in Las Vegas. It happened when we were off the air, so I wasn't able to address it during last week's show, but I wanted to make sure that I took the time to offer my sincere condolences. Now, it's no secret. You who have been following me for years know how special Las Vegas is to me. We know that it is the tech center of the universe once a year at CES. And our friends over at CES released a statement a day after the tragic events. We are all shocked and saddened by the tragic shooting last night in Las Vegas. As host to CES, the city is like a second home to the entire CES family. We, like so many across the nation, are waiting to hear that our family and friends are safe. Our hearts and prayers are with the entire Las Vegas community. And no doubt we all echo the same sentiments. I have many friends and colleagues out in Las Vegas and had an opportunity to contact them that morning after, and all are safe. But as you may well understand, that city is still in shock by the tragic events over there. And I know that this is a tech show, and this platform is not for me to try to influence someone's thinking or control their thoughts, but I just want to talk to you out there. You know, if life seems not to be going that well for you, and you feel that you may want to take someone's life, I ask you to do one thing, please. Stop and pause and talk to someone about it. Not someone who's going to encourage you to do an egregious act, but talk to someone who can really help you. Go to the authorities. Talk to someone who is a spiritual confidant. Get the help. This tragedy just underscores just what can happen when we're just out having fun and having a good time. And we saw technology at its best on the night of that tragic shooting. People were streaming things, recording things. This is how families were able to know that their family members were okay. A lot of ones were able to check in on Facebook, Twitter, let them know their families are okay. And then, sad to say, even on the different formats, ones were able to even find out that their family member was hurt or had tragically died in that event. So please, nothing should be that bad that you want to harm and kill innocent people. I've been at a very dark place in my life before. I thought about hurting myself, but I never, ever thought about taking someone else's life or a group of people out there. Several people, they have to plan for funerals now, memorial services. People are not going to have their grandparents, their parents, their children come home. People, let's stop and think. Don't let the divisive rhetoric out there push you to a point that you want to do something this tragic. Again, my thoughts and prayers to the victims and their families that are affected by that tragic event last week in Las Vegas. And I was there just a few weeks ago, that same spot driving. Well, the show must go on. On our show today, ironically, we're going to talk about Las Vegas and how this one exhibit has some awesome technology on display. Are you an Avengers fan? You don't want to miss out. And also, we're going to talk to a person who is a content creator, who is creating things, having their own news channel, and how they're streaming and their fresh approach to covering the news and their journey. So sit back and enjoy the show. And let's remember those who are affected by these tragedies out there. We pray for all those affected, and we pray for Las Vegas. I love you guys. We'll be back. Hello and welcome back to the Tech Zone. I am Paul Amadeus Lane, and thank you so much for having me back after the break. I mean, you could have went and got some coffee and never came back, but I'm glad that you came back. Remember, you can always connect with me at paulamadeuslane.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to connect with you. And you can follow me for some updates on social media and what's been going on in the tech world. Well, I recently got back from Vegas a few weeks back, and I saw one of the coolest things I have ever witnessed in my life. You want to know what it was? Check it out right here. That was simply awesomeness in all the superlative right there. We're talking about at the Marvel's Avenger Station in Las Vegas at Treasure Island Resort and Casino. Wow. I got a chance to tour the facility. It is like just, it's like you're in an Avengers movie. I mean, Hulk, Iron Man, they have a lot of the different costumes there that are from the actual movie. So it was awesome. I got a chance to get in contact with Cheryl over there. Cheryl runs the PR department, and I practically begged her. I said, Cheryl, you gotta let me come and check it out. I want to find out all about the technology there. And Cheryl was oh so gracious. She put me in contact with the chief technology officer over there, Michael Maddox. Got a chance to chat with Michael about this awesomeness of technology. Check it out.
Right. So, Michael, talk about the technology that is on display at this exhibit and that you use to put all this together.
Okay, perfect. The we tried to use everything that was cutting edge mixed with things that we know were tried and true because you want to give everybody this experience of something new and exciting that they may not have had anywhere else. But with new technology always comes the new bugs. So you want to mix that with things that are old and proven, like IR, and we used Kinects from Xbox to make the ants move around and react to your body and stuff like that. Transparent LCD screens to give you information, but as well as you can see through and see the actual costumes from the movies and the artifacts.
And that just blew me away. We went through the different rooms, and did you ever think we would ever see technology where it is today that this would ever all come to fruition?
Yeah, growing up, I mean, I guess I feel like we're in the Tony Stark room, so I feel like I'm kind of like Tony Stark, so I'm always like looking for like, what's that new technology? And, you know, I'm still trying to invent that flying car, but I haven't quite got to that part yet, so that's the next goal, so.
And Michael, when we look at this whole exhibit right here, it's something that took years of planning. It wasn't something that you did overnight, was it?
No, not at all. Actually, this exhibit started in New York. So that was the first time that it was kind of conceived and started being put together. And then it moved to Korea and was a little bit more refined and perfected there, finally before coming to Las Vegas, to where we could really put, you know, a permanent install in place and really do everything that we wanted to do. And then we're still looking for new things, and we're still prototyping and testing. And as well with the new movies, we're starting to, you know, integrate more of the new characters and stuff into it as well.
So this is something that is going to expand over time. You know, Marvel puts out movies, what, every 2 weeks?
Yeah, pretty much. So they keep me really busy as fast as they put it out. But yeah, absolutely. With Infinity Wars coming up, we're definitely getting ready for that. Integrating some new technologies, the new characters. I just finished looking at some prototypes for Black Panther, so it's coming along pretty fun.
And one thing I really like about the exhibit is the interactive feature, you know, about this exhibit. I mean, ones can use their smartphones, they can use like a little tablet or something, they walk through and they answer different riddles or something. Is that what happens?
Absolutely. We have mobile devices, so in case you don't have the have your phone with you, or if the battery's a little bit dead because you've been taking photographs all up and down the strip, you can walk around with that or use your mobile device, and it interacts. We use Bluetooth technology as well as Wi-Fi in here, so the phone or mobile device knows where you're at in the exhibit and reacts to that. Actually sends you messages, it'll ping, give you the questions and answers, and you also need it for the final game. So there's a final game where you battle Ultron, and unless you have that mobile device or your phone, then you can't really play and fight him. So, but we do have it there locally, just in case you forgot it. So.
Now, and one thing I like it too, each room has its own personality or its own feature. How difficult was that to integrate that, but also have a common theme throughout the whole exhibit?
It was a little bit challenging, but I think Marvel really made it easy for us. They've already integrated all the characters together through Avengers, so that's the common thread. So, to be able to do that made it a little bit easier, but yeah, the characters are so totally different between Bruce Banner, you know, Tony Stark, and even Thor. I mean, you got a mythological, you know, god in one room, and you have Tony Stark, the party animal, in the next. So it does make it challenging, but it was a fun challenge.
And when we look at just this exhibit as a whole, it really is something that's fun, the family can all get involved with. Now, is it better experience someone individually or in a group?
It really depends on the person themselves. So that kind of gets into the psychology and philosophy of the human, you know, psyche. But some people like to be by themselves. They like to really walk around, read every little detail, and just take it all in just for themselves. But there's others that like to enjoy it as a group. You know, that you like to have parties for NFL and stuff. You like to do the same thing here. Come in as a group and party and have a good time and enjoy it together and talk about this and how'd you like that, and you react off of each other versus just your own personal experience.
And you talk about the expansion of maybe different movies that may come out that you may have to put different costumes in. How far in advance do you know about that before we, the public, do?
Pretty far in advance. So at least with Marvel, we get about a year out of kind of knowing what's going on, maybe some of the characters that's coming, or some of the characters that might be reappearing that you thought were gone. So
can we get a spoiler alert?
No, can't. Sorry. I'd love to, but Marvel would, kill me.
Yes, because they said, if you tell anybody, we have to take you out, right?
Exactly. They'll send Tony Stark over here to take care of me.
Now, we're in the Iron Man room right here, and this room has like all the suits, yep, that Tony Stark wore. Is there a new suit? No, I can't ask you that because I was trying to trick you. But as a fan, which one is your favorite suit?
Oh, that's a tough one. I have to say the Mark One. So the original movie where Tony had to come up with it on his own in the cave, piece it together out of just miscellaneous pieces and parts and flamethrowers. That would be my absolute favorite. But in this room, Veronica, you know, the Hulkbuster is pretty fantastic because it's the actual size. So to be kind of, you know, put in my place of, you know, and in awe of that large suit is pretty amazing.
And speaking about the technology, the screens that you guys have here are just ultimately high resolution, ultra HD, 4K. that's awesome. You know, the clarity of it. Talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we used 4K, like you said, and we're always looking for the newer technology and what's even clearer. So if they come up with an 8K, 12K, whatever it is, we're going to be going after that just to make sure that we deliver something new, something exciting, and just the clear, cleanest experience possible, because it is based on film. It is based on movie. So it's not right for us to, you know, tend to neglect that and give you, you know, something that looks like Minecraft on a screen compared to what you see in the cinemas.
And through our walk through the exhibit, you not confided in me, but you told me about how when you first got the project, the cement walls, cement floors, and to where it's at today, do you sometimes just walk through the exhibit and like, wow, look at this project I was a part of, and this is totally awesome?
I do, and I was just kind of reminiscing a little bit walking through with you about that. I didn't mention it to you prior, but we even basically blew a hole in the floor just to build an elevator shaft, and also to get some of the pieces up into place. So some of the items that are up here, for example, like Captain America's birthing chamber, really can never leave unless we blow another hole in the wall or in the floor, because it's so large, the only way to get it up was through an open elevator shaft.
Wow. You know, as I look at the finished product, I'm like, this is awesome. And then think of the expansion. You know, are there any more rooms in here we haven't seen yet that's going to have the expansion or what?
I have some hidden areas that's kind of back behind some of the walls, some hidden pathways. There's some secret doors around that I've installed for shortcuts and to access some other areas. So, yeah, there's some surprises.
Awesome. Are there any more technologies that we didn't discuss that you wanted to articulate out there to all us geeks and tech heads out there?
I think as everybody knows, the network is kind of your backbone of everything. And that's probably the largest component of this exhibit as well. And trying to integrate all the different technologies, all the different, you know, partners that we have together to make it all function. Specifically, no. I mean, there's too many little bits and pieces together to make it all work. I mean, down to like the little connectors and little specialized pieces of wiring and things like that. It's very, it's very complicated to somehow make it all communicate together and actually function.
Are we looking at a VR component one day?
We have a VR component that we're working on right now. So it's very possible, and we're also looking at AR, which is a little bit more intriguing to us at this point than VR. So,
you know, one thing when it comes to technology that's really like blown me away is that how we have become the conduit, the human body, when it comes to using things like you mentioned Kinect earlier, and we're starting to see a lot of that more integrated in things. Do you think that's really going to be a staple now when it comes to exhibits?
I believe so, absolutely. So that's everything we're working on right now is more integrated to the person. So somewhat of the individual experience, but also the group experience, but the interactivity and also the immersion. So we're trying to find ways to take you out of what your reality is and put you in our new reality.
And speaking of what you're working on next, I heard a little rumor that we may see an Optimus Prime, a Bumblebee, Megatron somewhere in the world. Is that true?
That is true. We are currently working on that, and we're going to be launching probably closer to the end of the year. So, Transformers.
Awesome. Stay tuned. We're going to talk about some more things they're going to do right now. We don't have approval to talk about it, but when it's launched, we're definitely going to do it.
A huge shout out to Michael Maddox, Chief Technology Officer over at Marvel's Avengers Station. Love the way he talked about the different technologies and just building that from the ground up. You have to go there and check it out. It's at the Treasure Island Resort and Casino in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. Big shout out to Cheryl Capital for setting that up. Thank you, Cheryl. My begging paid off, didn't it? Hey, when we get back from the show, we're going to talk about how digital content is really just taking over the way we get news. So you don't want to miss that coming up right after these messages. You are in the Tech Zone. I am Paul Amadeus Lane. And what are we going to talk about now? We're going to talk about some digital content out there. How do you consume your news, entertainment, and technology now? If you're like me, you get it from multiple sources out there, not just television, but you know, some of the streaming channels out there that offer some phenomenal content. My next guest is doing just that with his company, Muse Digital News. And I was so happy to meet this guy a few years ago. We hit it off and really, I enjoy his craft. I really just love his hustle and the content that they're creating out there with the company. And I'm so happy right now to bring this next individual on. Had an opportunity to meet him several years ago. We just hit it off. Great tech mind, great news mind, Michael Sandoval, Muse Digital News. How you doing, my friend?
Doing good, doing good. We just moved into our new offices in Pasadena, so everything's going well.
Awesome. Go ahead and brag. Go ahead and brag, Mike. Go ahead and brag. New office, new digs. That's cool.
Oh, dude, we got to do it, you know? We got to. We work too hard to not.
And you know what, Michael, talking about working too hard, I remember when we first met, you were talking about expanding and everything and the internship that you had with the local college. And to see where you're at today, my friend, it's truly amazing to see. Talk about the journey.
Well, like with the college program, we work a lot with Cal State Fullerton, where I graduated from. And the whole goal was to be able to put journalists who are in college, who want to branch out into the digital space or into the field, to give them an opportunity to give them real work, real interviews, real experiences on the fly type of knowledge that you don't get at a college right now. So we've been able to really build a program that's been great. The school loves it. We love it. We've had about 30 students from Cal State Fullerton who go on to KMTR in Oregon, Fox affiliates around the country, local stations. So it's been really cool.
And Michael, one thing I really enjoy about you, you're like me, you know, we're all geeks. We love tech and everything. And yeah. we kind of talked about this before we were able to start this interview about how technology has changed to the point now where you're able to do this. You know, think back to like 20 years ago. I remember when I was in high school, I had ROP, radio and television production, and just to be able to have footage seen for the masses, it was either a local cable station, maybe a local affiliate, and that's where students would be able to, you know, to do their craft and everything. But now, with the use of technology, you guys are able to go to different locations, shoot live content, and talk about just how technology has helped the vision of the company.
I think it really has helped. I come from a tech background. I went to all-boy technical high school in Rosemead, Don Bosco Tech, where pretty much you look at back when I was in college in the 90s and high school in the 90s, and you couldn't do this. You couldn't have that outlet. Like you mentioned, you had to work with either one of the big affiliates, or if you don't get in, you're pretty much out and you don't get to follow your passion and your dream. With the way technology is now, I mean, we've been able to not only stream live content, stream red carpets, but also try and find ways to integrate AI, AR, VR into the product now. We're really trying to expand live broadcast, live viewing, as well as now we're starting to push and trying to develop 4K video content for YouTube now, in which we're doing better technology, better, clearer images. It's every day. New stuff comes out every day, and we're trying to implement it into Muse to be able to tell a story and to be able to tell the news that the way in a different way, in a different format.
And you know, Michael, when I started in journalism about 17 years ago, wow, I'm getting old. It's, you know, I remember there was only a... I know. We only had certain number of news affiliates, radio affiliates that would bring the content. And it seemed like everybody talked about the same thing. But now we see with the advent of technology, you get all these different fresh perspectives. There's no more cookie cutter, you know, kind of journalism out there. I mean, and I've watched some of your stuff that you guys have covered.
A lot of it is just because we focus on their work. A lot of the questions that we ask are about the music that they're putting out, the films that they're putting out, we very, very, very rarely go into their personal lives. I mean, we treat it to them like they're going to work, like it's a business. And that's the one thing I think it translates to our viewership and our readership is the fact that it's an old school style of news because we're getting straight to the story, straight to the point. And I think it's refreshing to a lot of people, especially to people who want to be in this business, who want to be in the film business or in the music business, and really learn how they got there. So we take a different approach that isn't really a new approach. It's something that's been around for a long time. It's just a matter of bringing that back. And then with this advent of where news stations are, like with radio, and a lot of it is pay to play. And that's the sad thing that you're seeing now. You're seeing radio stations shut down. You're seeing a playlist that it doesn't really open up to local artists. And I think that's where a lot of bands in the music side really like us is the fact that we don't have that. We will play anybody and anyone. As long as the music's good, even if it's not that good, we'll give you an outlet.
Now, I know the story because I have a brother and he's in the music industry, and sometimes he sends like talent to me. He's like, hey, I need for you to interview him. And like I said, you know, if I didn't have the power and authority that I have over my content I have at my show at the radio station, I don't think management will put it on. But I'm glad you said that, because I may not like it, but someone else may like it. And that's what we see even with like the top 40 and the top 10 stuff. I'm like, why is that on there? But somebody likes it. And for artists to have that platform, you know, I think that's how, you know, the game has changed. You look at even Justin Bieber, you know, he got to start YouTube. And I'm like, and look at him now, one of the highest selling artists out there. And being able to share another person's dream and a journey has to be fulfilling for you guys.
Yeah, it's like Chance the Rapper is another example. It's like he doesn't have a real record label, and a lot of his content is not even in an album form. It's all been digital releases.
Yeah, and I tell you, back in the days, it was so hard to even get a record company to even sniff you. And now people said, I'm going to do it myself, and I'm going to make all my money, cut through all the red tape. And I see the times in which we live, and it's truly transformational. I mean, I never would have thought about it, you know, 30 years ago, that we would see what we see right now.
Well, I mean, guys like Prince, I mean, you've seen them. If it wasn't for Prince going away from the record company and doing stuff on his own, and other artists like him, you wouldn't see guys like Chance the Rapper or other independent artists come out and do their own thing and say, we don't need the record company to back us anymore. If they're not going to sign us, we can do it on our own and put our own music on there and become successful.
Yes, because there's a lot of YouTube artists out there that's getting some big checks out there, and it's
I'm right. I wish we had some of those big checks from YouTube, but
I'm with you, brother. I'm like, okay, the views are going up, but I'm still like in the change I'm getting from YouTube.
Exactly, especially with the algorithms that keep changing, and the recent one that just changed does affect us as well. Was the one about your content isn't suitable for advertisers. And it's like, we don't say one bad word. It was just a clean interview. And just because it's on the title, it says Halloween Horror Nights, or the maze is called The Shining, or Saw, we get hit. And it's like, it's one thing if it's all an algorithm based, computer based software. But it's like, come on, by this time, the algorithm should be able to tell what is okay and what isn't.
That's so true. I remember I did an interview with Natasha Henstridge, and YouTube flagged it. And I was like, not suitable. Now I can understand if I was trying to play Species, but no, all I was trying to do was interview her about Medina, the new series that she's in. Mm-hmm. And those algorithms are just, I'm with you on that. And I think that's what the challenge that we have out there is, like, when we're trying to create this audience, trying to create revenue, you know, you have these different flags that come up, and how do you guys deal with that challenge right there?
With that, it's really difficult. Like, we've been trying to get in contact with Google to just see what we can do to make sure this doesn't happen as often as it has been. With copyright claims, that's always a tough one as well, because we work with a lot of the theme parks, Universal Studios, Disney, Knott's, and they play music that's throughout the park, and it's really hard to get through copyright issues with that. We try and take out that audio. We try and record two different audio streams so we could take out any music in the back, but even then, it's impossible. And it sucks because there's music played everywhere. And in my thoughts, we shouldn't be penalized for something that, because there's background music played in the theme park and we're getting credited because we had no control over the music that's being played.
Yeah, that's so true. And, you know, I was got a chance to be innovation judge again this year for CEA. And I was judging this one piece of equipment by Nielsen. And what Nielsen is doing now is that they have like this encoder that they want people to put into their homes so that they can measure their streaming content. And to me, I'm like, okay, if they start doing that, just like with the Nielsen and Arbitron book, you can fudge those numbers because it's only an average. It's like maybe, you know, so many households will have and things like that. And you can see, like, even these majors now are trying to get into the streaming thing. And right. And for content creators such as yourself, do you think that that's a good thing or a bad thing? Because let's face it, Nielsen and Arbitron, they normally like to report to ones who buy that diary. And the diary is about 25, 30 grand. So what do you think about that?
In some ways, it's good because there's really no such thing as competition, because it just opens up more content. It gets people more comfortable with using a streaming service without having to feel like, oh, they're taking my data information, feel a lack of security. There's a sense of that. People are always fearful about new outlets. That's the good part. The bad part is that, especially with what's going on with them wanting to get rid of the FCC, wanting to get rid of net neutrality, that's where the issue starts coming in. It's like, are you going to hold us down where you start coming into that space and we're going to be throttled and we're going to have an issue and we're going to have to push that cost off to our readers and our viewership, which already we've already seen that if you push a cost out to the reader or viewership, they're not going to come back. And it's sad to say that that's probably the hardest part, is that we would love to do a subscription-based service like a Disney will be doing in 2019 or somebody else. But who's really going to pay for it?
That's true. That is so true, because there's so much free content out there that ones really don't want to pay. And I think even Disney's going to have a tough toe. And the reason why I say that is because you look at like Netflix and Hulu and all the content that they had, it took them years to be able to be what they are today. I know Disney is probably banking on the name and having all the Pixar and the other Disney productions is going to be on there. I think it's going to help, but it's going to, you know, especially everything's going streaming now, CBS, they're streaming and everything. So it's like, you see this like smorgasbord of streaming content. And by the time everyone pays for their streaming services, you might as well stick with satellite because you'll be paying about the same amount.
Exactly. You know, Disney's not going to be a cheap product. It's going to be a high-end product for a streaming service. They're not going to charge it for a Netflix type of price where you're paying $7.99, $12.99. You're going to wind up having to pay like HBO, where it was $19.99, I believe, when HBO Now came out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, they got to pay for Star Wars Land, Michael.
Exactly. And the worst thing, people are going to buy it because they're going to have, I'm pretty sure they're going to have the Star Wars original content, original TV shows. Marvel's taking all their stuff from Netflix and putting it on their new Disney channel. So it kind of, for the consumer, It doesn't make sense because if you even charge a lower price, you'd still be making a lot of money in order to do the production.
Yeah, that is so true.
And especially on a streaming service where there's ways to make it affordable on your end to be able to afford everything to put the content on, and most of that content going into production. But they're going to find out a way to charge a lot of money for their stockholders.
Yeah, that is so true. And Michael, you know, talk about your fondest memory of Muse, Muse Digital News and the journey. What's been your fondest memory?
Oh, my fondest memory is all the Star Wars events that we get to cover. I was a big Star Wars fan growing up. First movie I ever saw was Star Wars A New Hope at 2 years old. So when you get to go and meet Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher before she passed away, and all that, all the people who are involved, it's just, to me, sometimes I step back and I'm like, wow, I went to school in East Los Angeles and I get to hang out with my idols now, and they know me by name and they come up. That is probably the best thing I've ever experienced, because it's like I've worked in pro sports, I've done a lot of things in entertainment, and nothing compares to like to be able to step back and say, wow, I've been able to do that. And
now, Star Wars question. I'm gonna put you on the spot, all right?
Okay.
Here we go. Is Rey a Kenobi?
At first I thought she was. Now I'm thinking that she's just somebody who was force sensitive and they found her. I really don't think she's a Kenobi. I don't think she's linked to a Skywalker. I think she really is somebody that was a standalone character, that she just happened to have force powers, was being trained, and then when all that stuff happened with the Knights of Ren, that's what occurred. I mean, she realized that she had force powers eventually.
Now, another question. Is Finn a Windu? What do you think?
That would be interesting, and I would like to see that, because we didn't see enough Mace Windu in the prequels, and he was the baddest guy. I mean, he was a very powerful Jedi. So I would like to see it in one way. In another way, I kind of don't, because then it makes the universe even smaller.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And I want to see that universe expand, especially since the whatever is canon now, whatever is not canon from back in the days, it's like there's a lot of material in which to branch everything out of. So I'm hoping that it doesn't expand the universe and not compact it.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting, because, you know, we're going to get a lot of questions answered when it comes out this December, but I'm thoroughly looking forward to it, because I have a lot of conspiratorial theories about that, because when Emperor Palpatine, when he got into the fight with Mace Windu, you know, he fell out the window, but we never saw a body, you know. So, you know, all my conspiracy theories are coming up. And even like when Obi-Wan was talking to Master Yoda, Empire Strikes Back, when he said, there is another, everybody thought it was Leia, but Leia never really got force sensitive. So, you know, it's like all these things are coming up. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I can't wait. I can't wait for the premiere. And
I can't wait. It's still, 2 months away?
No, and no more trailers have been released.
No. Well, Mark Hamill had released a little snippet saying, maybe look at Monday Night Football on October 9th. But I hope that's true, because I want to see what the actual story is going to be. At least kind of, you don't have to tell me the whole thing. Just give me an idea of what we're going into to see in this movie.
That's true. And I think you and I both caught on that snippet when Mark said, one thing I know for certain, time for the Jedi to end. And I remember you posted about it, and I was like, I think I know what that means. You know, following the video games and everything, it'd be nice, you know, to see some things that maybe the video game showed that this one was showing. Battlefront. OMG. Have you played Battlefront yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't played it, but I have seen the cinematics, and oh my God, it makes me want to buy a PlayStation Pro and play it just for that game alone.
No, you want to get an Xbox One X, because when that comes out, that's going to be a lot better. PlayStation, garbage.
I remember when Xbox first came out with their new Xbox One, and they're running it off of a PC at E3 one time.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, but I think the 1X, the Project Scorpio, I think that's really going to change the game. But you know, PlayStation, I got some friends work over at PlayStation there. They have a good product too, but I'm kind of force sensitive to Xbox.
Well, the hardware kind of speaks for itself. It is an updated system, an updated hardware. The CPU is a lot faster. What was it, 8-core or 16-core processor?
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting. I just wish that with Xbox that you would be able to change out the hard drive and really have a way to upgrade that storage like PlayStation does.
That's true. And I know with the Xbox One, you can actually, depending on what version you got, you can actually, you know, take it out and put a new one in. But I know like the consumer version, you really can't do that. But I definitely hear you, because once that hard drive is gone, who wants to go start deleting stuff and everything? So
exactly. Looks like the Xbox 360, that was probably my biggest complaint about it, was the fact that you had to buy a special hard drive module because of the way the housing was in order to get an upgrade in storage, where like us tech guys, we knew a way of getting around that. But still, when you think about somebody who doesn't know how to do that, you're paying $100, $200, $300 for a new hard drive.
That's true. And who wants to do all that and wants you to pay it all that money, right?
Exactly. When you can get one at Fry's for $49.99 for one gigabyte right now, or one terabyte?
Oh, the terabytes. Yeah, terabytes are real cheap now. Yeah, so definitely. Michael, before I let you go, my friend.
Yeah.
We know the tragic events that happened in Las Vegas this past weekend. And I know you and I, you know, we hang out at CES. You know, I frequent Vegas several times a year, and my heart bleeds for what happened out there. And Michael, you know, that was a real tragic event that happened out there.
Yeah, it really was. I have a good friend who lives out there in Vegas. And when the incident happened, I called him, see how he's doing. So hopefully he was not around the area. He was by the town square, that shopping mall that's over there south of Mandalay Bay. And he was even telling me that you could hear some of the gunshots from over there. And another friend of mine, Jessica Muse, who's a recording artist, was there, who was supposed to be at that show. And I literally text messaged her immediately because I thought she was going to be there. Luckily enough, she wasn't able to get a ticket to that show. But for everybody else who was there, I mean, it's sad that this has to happen and that you can't even go out to a festival and enjoy yourself. I mean, these people work hard, pay hard money for a good ticket just to be around the family and friends that enjoy music. So and that's the one common denominator, to have somebody like this individual do what he did. It's sad. But Vegas is tough. Vegas is strong. You know they're going to come back bigger and better than ever, and they always find a way via technology to improve their city. Absolutely. So I'm sure Vegas will be back in no time.
And we saw technology in action when it happened. A lot of people were streaming live. You can hear certain things, and even ones letting know their family members that they were okay. So we see technology really played a part in help spreading the word, but definitely our thoughts and prayers go out with them. And Michael, anything else you'd like to articulate to the viewer out there, or maybe even how one can get in contact with Muse Digital News and check out all the great things that you guys are doing out there?
Yeah, definitely check us out at SoCalMuse.com. That's our website. You can find us on all social media at SoCalMuse and on our YouTube channel, which is Muse TV. And you could do the same thing with searching at SoCalMuse, SoCalMuse.com, Muse Video HD, and you'll be able to find us on YouTube. And we have a couple of things that we're working on for 2018. So it's the best way to find out what's going on, especially with our new show. We have a show coming out called Essentially Crystal, which is a food and lifestyle travel show that we're putting on Amazon Prime, nice, iTunes, YouTube, and that will be a paid show because we can't do everything on Muse for free. But it'll be well worth to purchase the season, and we're going to make the season prices very, very affordable for everybody.
Nice. Now, I didn't like twist your arm eating that barbecue and eating that macaroni and cheese on Facebook Live. I didn't I didn't influence you to do that.
You always do that every time. Every time. And then I wind up getting hungry and I have like, oh shoot, I'm gonna have to go get some barbecue.
Definitely.
Mac and cheese and some greens and go to town. But I gotta start getting ready for CES weight though, so I gotta slim down. I gotta watch that.
That's me too, man. I started yesterday, my wife and I, and Michael knows, you know, the press events we get invited to, all the open bars and everything. It's like, yeah, we got to get down. So
open bars is where it gets you.
Yeah, tell me about it. And it's not the cheap liquor, you guys. It's the real liquor.
Yeah, exactly. It's the good stuff.
Michael, great talking to you, my friend, and much success with Muse Digital, and I look forward to catching up with you soon.
Sounds great. Hey, thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me.
Anytime, my friend. Thank you so much, Michael Sandoval. It's the Michael Show, right? And Michael Maddox on in the second segment, and now Michael Sandoval in this last segment. Thank you so much, my friend. And thank you for opening up about Las Vegas, a place that's dear to everyone in the tech world's heart. CES 2018 is coming up, so our thoughts and prayers continue to be with you as your city heals, as the state heals. We love you all. Make sure you tune in to next week's show. More great things we're going to talk about. Take care.